This past Monday night, our Minnesota Vikings played the Seattle Seahawks on Monday Night Football. And Kirk Cousins, our quarterback, was 0-7 going into the game on Monday Night Football. He's lost all seven primetime appearances. He struggled on Monday nights. But we were hopeful. We had great hope, right? It's the season of Advent. We should have hope. And we're Vikings fans, so we always have to try to live in hope, because it hasn't ever come to fruition. But we were hopeful. And the Vikings played not very well on Monday night, frankly. And our Xavier Rhodes, our cornerback, had a tough game. In fact, in the second half, he gave up a 60-yard touchdown pass. And after the touchdown pass, he came over to the sideline, really upset with himself and his blown coverage. He took his helmet and he threw it on the ground. And he yelled at his coach, took his helmet again, and threw it on the ground. Kind of threw a temper tantrum as a 29-year-old. Looked kind of ridiculous, didn't it? Yeah. At least I was pretty embarrassed. I was pretty like, come on, Xavier. It doesn't look very good for Minnesota sports, right? And it was a little bit frustrating. He was frustrated, understandably so. He didn't play very well, and he didn't look very good in front of many, many people. Later in the week, though, he must have read our gospel for this coming weekend. Because guess what? He repented, right? He repented of his outburst, and he said, I'm sorry. And he took ownership for his action. He took ownership and responsibility for his lack of performance, saying, it was my fault, I shouldn't have acted that way, I should have played better. And in that, we see a sense of humility, a sense of understanding, a sense of responsibility before his teammates. This is really what we need to have in our Christian faith as well, in our Catholic faith, to have a sense of ownership. To apologize when we fail. To come before God in confession when we need to repent. Right? At the beginning of every Mass, we take an opportunity for repentance. We say, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Because we all need God's mercy. But it's a temptation in our world to try to be prideful, though, to think everything's about ourselves and not think we need mercy. But the reality is, we all need mercy. John the Baptist today in our scriptures points this out. He calls out to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, repent, repent of your sins. And many people listened to John. In fact, the Gospels tell us that people from all over Judea and all over the region came to be baptized. But yet, the Pharisees and the Sadducees failed to have humility. They were too busy building up their own kingdoms. They didn't want to live in Christ's kingdom. They didn't want to live in God's kingdom. They wanted to live in the kingdom where they were in charge, where they were the ones who were looked at with admiration, where they were the ones who had the authority. They didn't want to submit to another king. They didn't want to submit to the authority of God himself. And even though the Pharisees and Sadducees were members of the chosen people, they were members of Israel, it didn't mean necessarily that they would be saved. It didn't mean that they would make it to heaven. But rather, as John the Baptist tells them, they must bear good fruit. If the tree doesn't bear good fruit, what happens to it? It's cut off. It's cut down. It's destroyed. And it's burned in the unquenchable fire. It's kind of scary to think about. But the reality is, we can live in hope. Because we can live, when we live in union with God, when we allow His grace to bear fruit in our lives, there is beauty there. We, as baptized members of the church, are members of now the chosen people of the body of Christ. And this is very important. But yet, we need to cooperate with God's grace in order to bear fruit. We need to work in accordance with God's will. To develop our God-given gifts. To grow into the disciples that God wants us to become. And in doing so, what happens? We will bear great fruit, which John the Baptist speaks of in our scriptures today. We must bear good fruit. And we do that when we serve God's kingdom. Oftentimes, we want to serve our own kingdom. We want to be the authority figure. We want to live our own, fulfill our own desires, our own wants, rather than thinking about others, rather than thinking about God's kingdom. Rather than having humility and living in accordance with God's will, we want to be our own king. Maybe you experience this in relationships or in teams that you're a part of. Sometimes you get turf wars, right? You want to defend your territory because because it's your territory. And the reality is, as Christians, as Catholics, we need to realize that we're in God's territory, that we're in Christ's territory, that Christ, who is coming to us as the Messiah, the Anointed One, is to be our King. And that means we're not to be the king. We're not to be the authority figure. We need to submit to Christ. We need to submit to God's plan. And this submission, there is a joy there, though. Oftentimes you think, well, if I'm not in control, then it's not going to be fulfilling. Things aren't going to go the way I want them to do. No, God has given you great gifts. God has given you great opportunities to use your places, to use your work, to use your family to build up His kingdom. To realize He wants to work with you right where you're at. To develop your God-given gifts so that you can bring life, so that you can bring love, so that you can bring God's goodness into the various places you are in society. You are part of God's kingdom. You're part of Christ's kingdom. And He wants to reign more fully in that place. In your own heart, in your own mind, in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions. He wants to be there with you. My brothers and sisters, this weekend, we hear from the Gospel of Matthew as well, the phrase, the kingdom of God. Now, the Gospel of Matthew is the gospel that we'll be reflecting on throughout this coming year, because we're now in year A. And in the Gospel of Matthew, the kingdom of God is an important theme. In fact, it's used 32 times throughout this upcoming year. Because the kingdom of God is what we're called to live in, what we're called to participate in, what we're called to enjoy life in. So when we live in the kingdom of God, we're protected. We're protected from the enemy. We're protected from the powers of hell. Yes, there is suffering in the world, but yet with Christ and living in God's kingdom, we can have assurance. We can have true hope in heaven. So today, as we come to this Mass, as we come to this altar, we ask the Lord to strengthen us in His kingdom, to help us have humility, to take ownership and responsibility for our actions, but also to submit ourselves, trusting in God's faithfulness, trusting in God's goodness, trusting in God's plan, because He is the King who will lead us. He will lead us through suffering. He will lead us through joys. He will lead us to heaven. Today, as we prepare to receive Jesus here in the Eucharist, ask Him for help. Ask Him for humility, to trust more fully in God the Father, knowing that God the Father is our King who will lead us to eternal life.